Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff in Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Speaking, Martin Horst. My guest today is Kelly Hampton. Kelly Hampton is rapidly becoming one of the top international psychic mediums in angelic realms, energy healers, spiritual visionaries, authors, and teachers. She has been lecturing and giving divine guidance for over 20 years, helping guide and educate thousands of people on topics related to channeling, healing of the body and mind, development of intuition, connecting with angels, and more recently, the spiritual truths of 2012. She has become a regular guest on many Block Talk radio shows, where she offers compassionate and accurate counsel for the benefit of those seeking guidance. She is currently at work facilitating workshops in star healing intergalactic energy and new groundbreaking fifth-dimensional Pleiadian healing modality, which was comprehensively revealed to her by Archangel Michael in January 2010. Presently, she is also launching Star Healing Equine, another powerful new system. Her first book, Into the White Light, The Revelations of Archangel Michael, was given to her in 2004 from the same divine source and continues to be profoundly important, even sacred book in helping people understanding and expand their spiritual wisdom. Her second book with Archangel Michael, entitled 2012 and Beyond, The Truth from Archangel Michael, further educates readers about the connection between star healing intergalactic energy and the truths about 2012. She is also the founder of another new system from Archangel Michael. This is one for creating abundance and detoxifying your home for the ascension energies called Ascended Spaces. Readings, space clearings, seminars, and remote healing are done all over the world. For more information, visit www.kelly-hampton.com. And now I want to welcome Kelly. Hello, Kelly, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Martin. How are you again?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. And it's the third time we're doing an interview together.
Well, I'm so excited and grateful.
Yes, me too. I'm also grateful. And I think the listeners are grateful that you can share your energy and wonderful insights and also the insights from Archangel Michael with the listeners. And I'm very thrilled to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, my friend.
So maybe first I can ask you to reveal a little bit about the truths about 2012, because it is already 2012, and what you see as the star healing intergalactic energy and how that relates to 2012.
Well, yes, I'd be happy to. 2012 and star healing, Michael says, what is it about? Certainly 2012, as he writes about, it's ascension. It's ascending the Earth's vibration and our own personal vibration and the collective vibration of Mother Earth. But it's not a time period that ends in 2012. Clearly, he states it extends for the next several hundred years. Once something ascends, if Michael says this is when you mentioned that star healing was a fifth dimensional healing system, for those of your listeners that would like my interpretation and my knowledge of that, Archangel Michael tells me that the fifth dimension is the lowest dimension upon which he resides. It's also the underlying or the main concept of 2012 and the decades beyond, in the time that we're living in, again, in the times that our children and our children's children will live in. And so really what I speak about more globally, because this is the theme, and the theme is ascension, ascending from a third or fourth dimensional existence, whether it's your personal body for healing, or if it's your home space for ascended spaces, or whether it's conceptually in a global nature, as in 2012 and beyond. So that vibration of the third and fourth is any vibration that isn't love. So ascension is the word, really. Ascending, oneness, Christ consciousness energy. These words can be used and understood interchangeably. If someone asks, what is 2012 and beyond about, there are many, many wise teachings in it. Maybe we'll get more into more specifics of that in just a moment. But the overall umbrella, as I say, is ascending to a fifth dimension. The fifth dimension is the love vibration. The fifth dimension, you might also say, is angelic in nature. As the ascension process unfolds for the Earth, for Mother Gaia, everyone will ascend to the fifth dimensional vibration, whether they have a star healing or not. In other words, it's not star healing that, you know, will allow that to happen. It's a part, like, you know, other new powerful healing systems like star healing are being given to light workers, because when those of the souls on the planet, the crystalline indigo rainbow children and so on, and other individuals, but as they have entered in with a higher vibration, clearly you need a higher vibrational source to affect change. So it kind of makes sense. It makes quite a bit of divine sense, actually.
Yes, that makes sense, yes. It does really make sense, and maybe if you can go a bit deeper into the material that you have been promoting and that you have been sharing for practices for healing. Heaven or the angelic realm, how did they, the angels and Archangel Michael, how did the ascension process come about? I mean, why is it happening now?
Well, it's happening. Well, let me just go back a little bit. In about 3 years ago, I've been giving counsel through Archangel Michael longer than 3 years, but at about the 3 year period, the tone of the council changed, and Michael was quite actively calling people into his lightworkers army. And it's mentioned again in the book 2012, but for me, Michael kind of says that there's waves of ascension, and there's also every individual, I believe, as I've been taught, has a personal ascension point. But in that about that 3 year period is when I dramatically noticed a shift in Michael calling more and more people to serve in his lightworkers army. And so ascension, said another way, is also an unseen battle of lightness versus darkness. And so as he says, yes, your world is coming to an end as you know it. Hallelujah. I mean, look what we've done to the planet, you know. So Mother Earth Gaia is supporting this event, if you will, this unseen battle of lightness versus darkness. To kind of understand a little bit more about that concept, perhaps, Michael says on the very, very first page that before we get any further in the teaching, that's, 2012 and beyond, he says, we first must come to the understanding that for many of you, Earth is not your original home. And then he says, we've got to agree upon this if you're going to read anything else. Pardon me?
Now, you're referring to starseeds?
Yes. Michael says, he defines what a starseed is. He says, before humanity existed on the Earth plane, I say to you, mankind was first created in a distant galaxy. The distant galaxy is known as the Palladian galaxy. So star healing, the star nation, out of the star nation are the Pleiades, and it's the Palladian source that we use in star healing, which is fifth dimensional in nature. And then Michael goes on to say, there are over 16 galaxies in the universes of which I will speak. And of course, galaxies are always being created, but he's focusing in this text anyway, primarily of 16, he says, the Palladian galaxy existed before creation. He says, I know this will fall upon some ears as simply untrue, and he accepts this, but you have to realize this one beginning truth, that mankind's galaxy is not the only galaxy supporting life. So one way that we demonstrate this directly in star healing, for example, is in the wisdom of the Nautilus shell. Many listeners and probably are already aware, but the wisdom, the spiraling chambers of the open chambered Nautilus shell, we do use the Nautilus shell in star healing, represents all the multi-galaxies. Some people would say, it represents the Fibonacci sequencing of all of life. And I would say, yes, that's also true. So it's not just fifth dimensional energy and vibration, by the way, that is being pulled into our world and our healing systems. It's really even higher than that. But you ask what Michael defines what a starseed is for those that are listening and may have their own interpretation upon it or something. But a starseed is an individual that came from either the Palladian galaxy or the Herculean galaxy for the purpose of transmitting disharmony on Earth. That's what Michael says a starseed is. So pretty much categorically in the last, it's been about 2.5 years now since both 2012 was downloaded to me and Star Healing for the System. He says, pretty much if you're thinking about becoming a star healing practitioner, you, if you read these words, if you read this text, you can consider yourself a star seed. So that doesn't mean you're not a star seed if you don't come to it, but clearly if you are, you are. And that's very helpful for a lot of people to know that, you know, about 2 years ago, I would say many clients would call and say, I know I'm supposed to be doing something, but I don't know what. I felt this my whole life. I've never exactly felt like I fit in. I know I'm supposed to do something. So this can be a trait of a Palladian, for example. You didn't really come out and state it in the bio there, but I'm a Palladian, or I would say I have Palladian genes in me, if we want to say it like that. Why do I feel this is so very important? Because to those listeners that might have felt different their whole life, you know, feeling different doesn't always mean it feels good. And for for a very long time, I would say most of my adult life, until I kept gaining more wisdom and understanding it. It wasn't really until about 2 years ago, about the time this information came through, could I identify what I was here for, what my life theme was. Michael, that's talked about really in the first book. Michael talks about people's life themes and that kind of thing. But more importantly, you know, how I could identify this feeling different and what I was supposed to do and what it meant. Since then, if I can go on just a moment, you know, many different people have been my teacher along the way, of course, just like all of us. But one of the teachers, for example, was Dolores Cannon. And how was she a teacher? She was a teacher indirectly. I mean, I didn't exactly know. There's some traits about Palladians that I didn't really know. But if I can share this with
yes,
your listeners.
I like very much the information from her, from Dolores Cannon. Please continue. Yeah.
Yes, okay, thank you. So, you know, what does she say? For example, there's some things that happened to me. She said, she kind of has categorized Palladians into waves now, but I don't want to get into that necessarily too much. But let's say the second wave Palladians, you know, we vibrate so highly that it's almost always the case that the earth mother, the seed, the star seed, you know, there's got to be an earth parent for the seed to come into. So it's usually that there's a miscarriage or several before the Palladian is, you know, because of the vibration before it enters in. So that was certainly the case in my family. My mother miscarried, I think it was 3 times between my brother and myself. And generally Palladians are so eager to get here that they can't, that they're born early, and that was me. Generally, also, I can share this with the listeners, that as a young girl, I remember for many, many, many nights, I guess, I can tell you how long this went on, I would be visited by something that was kind of frightening. It was just, all I can describe it to you is like an energy, and as a child, it was kind of nightmarish. It didn't have a face or any such thing like that. But, you know, from some of the teachings I'm learning, you know, I was being checked on, you might say. Then there's another experience later in life with a white owl, kind of didn't belong. I believe that's called masking. Maybe there's some other words, you know, to it. So they were kind of checking on me. So,
I have had similar experiences in my childhood.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was feeling a presence around the age of 12, between 12 and 15. I was feeling a presence, an energy in my room, and it kept me awake.
Uh-huh. For me, it didn't really feel good. I mean, I was young enough, it felt frightening. But kind of in a more global way, what I find partly so important, besides the power of the healing system and healing people from all types of conditions, which I hope we get a minute to speak about at some point, is the voice that they've asked me to share, and what is the voice that, you know, now it's time to sort of wake up. And so if a person is listening and they know they're called to do something, it doesn't really matter if you label yourself as a Palladian or many people want to know their original star home, and we can and do access that information sometimes for them in a star healing session. But that being aside, you know, to know that that we came here, all the light workers came here more now than ever to help our planet ascend. And that the difference, you know, the feeling different, you know, the payoff is now, I guess I would say, you know. And so I have, it's so moving when I'm able to kind of reassure people that don't even maybe know how, why they feel different. Or some people describe to me, they say, I feel like I've always been floating a couple feet off the ground, you know, and I always felt strange about it. And I would simply, you know, would offer, if they ask, you're a light worker and you're here to do work. And then sometimes Michael would tell them exactly how to go about and do it. So that's what the, you know, introduction of what is 2012 and the decades about to continue. It's about this rising up to the love vibration. Michael also says that everyone will be an ascended master. They will be. It may be in my children's lifetime, but they will be. So, you know, the idea that there's some other magical hierarchy of one new master, you know, some people have said or asked, you know, isn't the new Messiah coming in 2012? Well, Michael says, there won't be one. You know, each of you will be that frequency. Each of you will have the capacity to be that frequency. So,
isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You can speak freely, Kelly.
Oh, well, anything
that you find crucial importance in this time of the second half of 2012?
I'd like to use as much time teaching, if I may. So I would go on to say, just fast forward maybe a little about my other discovery and then go to Michael's teachings. And that was about 8 years ago when I was a medium as a young girl. My mother crossed over very early, and I knew at that moment then that life was eternal. I mean, I knew that. So, for those that are on the fence about, you know, love, you know, love everlasting, love only changing form, then if I'm the vehicle to express, and through Michael's words and vision, that life is eternal, then I feel I've done a portion of what he's asked me to do. But in about that 8-year period, I was searching a bit around for things. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to study some shamanic training. And so, by the way, you know, when you're a channel, or I can't speak for everyone, but yes, I channel Michael. Yes, I channel Jesus. Yes, I channel Ashtar. Yes, I channel Mary. Yes, I channel Native Americans. Yes, I channel others from higher galaxies now that I'm not even quite sure who they are, but I'm okay with that. And yes, of course, loved ones on the other side. But that experience in the shamanic training was the first time I saw a reptilian ship. And so I need to introduce reptilians, because the unseen battle, you know, what's the battle about? And so the battle, in a large part, is about other galaxies that interfered with our development. The frequency of Earth was supposed to have been the fifth dimension. You know this, probably many of your listeners. The Earth was, for the longest time, called the dark planet. The Anunnakis had some interference. The reptilians had some interference. There's still some reptilians on the planet, but Michael's saying, you know, love is the greatest vibration there is, and through the frequency of love, okay, that's why, you know, there's new healing systems to keep everybody in the love vibration. You know, love is the greatest power. So if he has me cast his sword of love and kindness upon a reptilian or anyone that's not in the love vibration, in that moment, those particles have dispersed that person's energy into that vibration. So know that there are underground tunnels in the earth. Know that there are underground tunnels in the ocean. Michael talks about it. Michael writes about it. The other day, the client said, I've had many experiences connecting me with Giza, places like Syria, Lemuria, Atlantis. These are concepts that are expressed and coming up in our world, in our reality. These are vibrations of fifth-dimensional civilizations. So the client, you know, I'm always supposed to do something. So he didn't know what, so I acted as the channel, and Archangel Michael said, well, if we have your cooperation, we'd like you to go from Los Angeles, which is where he lived, to Florida in the United States, to Cape Canaveral, where there are underground tunnels where the reptilians are still occupying the tunnels and interfering with inner space exploration. So he did. The gentleman did, and he did energetic work there. And it was quite important, and he listened to Michael, and he had a knowingness about it, and so he did that work. But that kind of illustrates, I think, what is still kind of going on. Michael says that there are many in the political arena in 2012 and beyond who are reptilian in nature. That anyone that's not familiar with that word, let's just say not good, not in the good light from galaxy, you know, and if I must kind of go back and say that I've also been taught that reptilians have particles of goodness in them too. You see, we all have kind of particles of all. But
yes.
Can
I ask you a question about these reptilians and these dark cabal? I have heard many rumors the last few days about the arrest of the reptilians and the dark cabal. What can you tell us about it?
Well, I will ask Michael, because where was the arrest? I haven't heard of that.
Well, there are many websites with news about, you know, UFO disclosure and the New Age. For example, the Galactic Free Press. And they are speaking about the imminent arrests, or that the arrests are going on from the Dark Apollo, from the Illuminati, or the Reptilian Draconians. And they say it's happening now.
Well, Michael's saying, he's saying, yes, hallelujah. And I might add, he said, if she can lower her voice a little, I feel as though my words and wisdom will be more greatly understood. So have I accomplished that? Because what we want to communicate is a feeling of security, peace, truth, love, and so on. So now that I feel... So now that I feel that we've done that, she gets so excited, you see. But the global teaching is that, excited or not, this is indeed happening. The Illuminati has been fractured. This is Michael, I'm channeling. The Illuminati has been broken up into pieces, and then the pieces will just be sort of crumbled like a cookie crumble cake, you see. And then if you imagine the crumbles in a giant hand that is like the God infinite mind hand, the crumbles, if you open your hand then and you open it, just imagine sparks of light, bright loving light coming out of that. That's what's going on. I'd like to state it to everyone this way, so that there is no fear if it's been created already, that the word arrest, you might say, is a little bit over the top for me. I would rather like to say that we're winning the global transformation. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, Archangel Michael. You are beautiful. I feel your energy, and I'm sure the listeners feel it. I'm moved.
Well, thank you, my friend. In our time together, I do hope that everyone might be opened for global healing of an energetic type using the powerful Palladian energy, of which we call her the hostess. so we would be asking your cooperation for this. If I may personally go on and guide right now, I would like to, or I may stop and pause.
No, please guide Archangel Michael about the Palladians.
Yes, thank you. The Palladians are very much peace. That is the hallmark of a Palladian. In fact, how will you recognize them? As she said through my voice in another way, another frequency, it's not important so much that you recognize them physically. There are some physical attributes that tend to be noticeable about a Palladian. They tend to be fairer feature. I don't necessarily mean fair-skinned. I mean fair in the way that their features are put together. But I would say to you that the work of a Palladian involves such vibrant, high-velocity frequency that even those that don't know their Palladian, let me put it to you this way. Let's take two individuals, if we may. One that has not been seeded from the Palladians, their prayer field might be 20 feet in front of them, let's say. You might call it your auric field. It's really what I like to call a prayer field. The Palladians' auric, what I would rather call prayer field, by example, measures anywhere from 200 to 500 feet. Can you imagine? So even if a person doesn't do energetic work, even if a Palladian person doesn't do anything, even if a Palladian person, and there are many who, for example, are in who were placed in the stock market of the stock markets of the world, the financial sectors of the world, even if they're doing that work because of the sheer volume of their light, they are affecting the change of the monetary currency system, so that there is an equal balance, so there's equal abundance for all in your world. There's a transformation, there's a shift that's going on now. It's likely that some of the global capitals of your old money systems are going to topple. This is not fear-based wisdom we're sharing with you now. This is to be viewed as a very good and gracious and righteous thing, so that all souls, no matter where they live, no matter what they do, see themselves in the light of abundance. This is what is going on now. This is what will continue to go on for the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 1500 years.
Beautiful. Archangel Michael, can you share with us when contact will take place with the Pleiades and the other star brothers and sisters?
Well, we say it already is. We would direct all of your eyes up to the skies. First, many of the ships are coming as donut-shaped clouds. Then not only donut-shaped, that was that sort of almost old news to us. He's kind of being playful, but the other shapes, many of the ships are coming first, also, excuse me, next in a more like a swirling kind of, what might you call it, like a maroon, a chocolate macaroon shape with like a point at the top. So that's already happening in all the quadrant sectors. That, by that I mean Australia is a quadrant sector, Nova Scotia is a quadrant sector. The Himalayas is a quadrant sector. The middle of the Atlantic is a quadrant sector. Abilene, Texas is a quadrant sector. Alberta, Canada is a quadrant sector. Nagasaki, Japan is a quadrant sector. The Turkish hillsides are a quadrant sector. So you see the point I'm making is all around your world. That type of contact, if you're thinking that it's, you know, I call that first contact. Really, so what? That's a misnomer itself, because first contact was really made billions of years ago, but that's another topic altogether, which we could bring in if you wanted that teaching. So what you're asking probably more so than this, my friend, is a more physical, without the cloud, you know, when will we see? And I say, well, it's already happened again, but what you're meaning when some of the light workers are espousing that the first contact is this date and the other, I say to you, don't take that so terribly literally, because it's already occurred. It's been covered up for quite some time. And depending on what quadrant of the world you're in, how long it's been covered up kind of changes. So the word first is not relevant. What you're asking, I think, though, however, is when is universal contact going to be made and understood globally? About 10 years from now. Right. There's still some filters put all across humanity's eyes. Okay, but what we're talking about is a global awareness, a global visualization that this is the reality. And again, as I state, that's about a decade from now. At the longest, we were trying to move that up maybe into the eight-year time frame. I would like to share some additional teaching with you, if I may, and say that the ships also, more recently, I'd say in the last 3 years, many of the light ships are coming, but they're also choosing to fragment the ways they appear to mankind. For example, if I may, on the auspicious date of the solar eclipse, are you familiar with that? That heralded some magnificent changes on your planet. Those or any of those that happen to go to Mount Shasta, which is one of my homes, it's not my only home. The ships there, many of the light ships, chose to fragment themselves into a multitude of trines. By that I mean, if you can imagine that an oval disc, let's simplify things, was split into three segments that looked like a triangle, and they were more linear in nature, that's how they chose to imprint themselves on that event. One triangle, for example, was green. There was another triangle representing another ship that was blue. There was another triangle that was representing itself in the frequency of red. All of these, of course, have great meanings. So collectively together, on that particular auspicious moment, if I can share this with you, there were about 1,300, take a few here or there, light ships all manifesting multiples upon multiples of triangular colored shapes. What collectively did the colored triangular shapes mean or have to do? It's a bit like this. I try to explain the wisdom behind the appearance of the light ships. Are such the divine mind behind the master plan, if you will, is wise and benevolent enough to know that if all the ships came to your earth at one time and came in a way that there'd be physical representation of them, the earth would implode. In other words, it's no different than, for example, trying to transform your earthly body that's been detoxed, full of toxins, into a pure one. We tend to want to do it in stages. So the process is exactly the same in this manner, if I'm being clear. So the breaking up of the particles of the triangles of the different colors, in other words, we're trying to warm up the earth. Let's think of it that way in your minds, okay? Warm up Mother Earth for something that she's known that she was all along. I hope I'm being clear. So that's just simply one example of how ships are making their presence known. But remove the... So if you're thinking contact with gray to gray or being to being, again, I say to you, that's already gone on.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe I can ask the question differently. Archangel Michael, when do you think, or approximately can you say, the cover-up will end?
Yes, thank you, my friend. It will end in about 10 years. They're linked together in the other response you were given. It will take that long. In other words, there will be some still that will proclaim that it's done in full and over and complete in a year or some such thing. It's true that there are some segments of your world that will have this matter in hand, shall we say, sooner. But I believe you asked me globally, and so globally the answer is 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, my friend, that does not mean that there isn't going to be a whole lot of development and purity and light on and in your planet and within the individuals on Mother Earth. There will be quite a huge shift. That's occurring already. The shift in vibration, as we say, from third dimensionalness to fifth dimensionalness, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, 12th, and higher dimensionalness is being facilitated by the influx of light workers.
Yes, and is it true that children that are born in this time are most of the time light workers?
Without exception. The next group of, for your information, if I may, my friend, the next group of soul beings that will be entering your planet are the diamonds. Right now, you have the Atlanteans from the rising of the mothership Atlantis. The diamonds will be heralding in a new dawn with them. The diamonds will start to be entering your earth plane in about any time from 6 months from the moment we're speaking to 6 years. That's about the time. They may have their ending shift slightly. But the diamonds, they will be holding what we would call the frequencies of Nebulon. The crystalline children are primarily set in place to hold the frequency of the Pleiadians. So the diamonds, they will be holding the frequency, again, of a Nebulon. Nebulon is a galaxy that is further light years away from the Pleiadian sisters. All of this really is magnification of the love vibration.
It sounds so beautiful. You're sharing really important new information. I didn't know about the diamonds. It's really interesting that you're sharing this.
Well, thank you, my friend. They will not be the last, you know, of the process of the human creator is creation. So after the diamonds, he said, then we feel as though your minds might find it curious to know that the next group of soul stars, let's call them, will be called, we will be calling them magnified beings. Mm-hmm. Magnified. So there's diamonds, then magnified, and so on and so on, so on and so on. 600 years from now, if we were having this conversation, there would have been probably, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other, let's say, groups of enlightened beings. And we would say in many ways that your planet would be to a place of such high vibration and resources that quite easily interstellar communication will almost be like if we were talking about the dial telephone in your world. It will be sort of that dated.
Mm-hmm. Archangel Michael, can I ask another question about my personal experience? When I have contact with other light workers, I feel relieved, I feel relaxed and happy. But when I turn on the television or speak to regular people, it seems that the vibration is so much lower. And why is it that it takes such a long time to lift off the darkness from this world? Because it seems to go so slowly. But maybe that's not true. Maybe you can give some insight on that.
Well, yes, my friend, I am sending additional healing now through her as we will be answering this for you. It is very true that the heart of a Pleiadian, any star seed, is one of love and peace. And I say to you that why has it taken so long? I would say to you that Mother Earth herself simply wasn't ready. Mother Earth, every rock, every organism has a breath. And it's really to praise Mother Earth. In other words, she took and took and took and took and took and took and took until she could take no more. So in her great and powerful wisdom to sustain mankind, we would say, it was her generosity, really. That's how I'd like you to think about it, rather than the way you may have presented it to me. That is, it's Mother Earth's generosity for supporting such a low vibration for so long. That has brought your planet to the place it is now. Suddenly, suddenly Mother Earth has decided that she can hold no more. So that's really her cry. By the way, the Earth itself can make noise, by the way, just like the dolphin under the ocean has a language, so does Mother Earth. And so when Mother Earth put out the signals to the other galaxies, it was really a distress signal. It was a frequency, by the way, that was understood. And the distress simple signal was simply that. I cannot sustain the life form here anymore. I need help. And so that's the moment that the ascension energies were heralded in, you might say. So I hope I've answered this for you, perhaps maybe in a different way than your mind might have been thinking.
You have answered it in a beautiful way, and I'm actually moved by it, the way you speak about Mother Earth with such emotion. And indeed, I agree with you that we should be grateful to Mother Earth, very grateful.
If I may, my friend, he says, I am transmitting the fifth dimensional star energy now to you and to the group of your listening, and also it will resonate throughout the physical space you are for about a duration or distance of 300 miles. So you can continue to ask your questions, but I do want to make you aware of the transmission of this energy, or you might find yourself just simply in a position to want to breathe and be silent or quiet while this is going on. It makes no difference.
I will be silent.
And as we say, as we open up the collective heart chakras of everyone in listening, along with the space, the extended space we, the collective archangels, have described, where there is peace and calm, there can be no illness in the body, no disease in the home. As you say, my friend, you were kind enough to share and say, there are many tools that a soul can use at their disposal to help elevate themselves to the ascension in their home space. Clear quartz crystals. We've had the grace to share this teaching with you again, my friend. Clear quartz frequency sound. This is important. Clear quartz crystals and other crystals are representative of the crystalline planet, the crystalline frequency. Ascension energy, you might say. At the top of Mount Shasta, for example, which some consider one of my homes, the water that flows at the top is totally pure and crystalline and solid in nature. By the time that water comes down through the mountain, it turns into a liquid. So crystals have been elevated and amplified for additional healing for mankind's goodness. There are also harmonics put into place now that I feel as though it will be useful in understanding how to raise your vibration. There are also many spiritual helpers that have been called upon to help sort of lift up the mask of untruth that have been laid across the consciousness of the globe. You in many ways can thank the indigo, crystalline, rainbow children for doing this. They are instrumentally important in raising the consciousness of your planet and should not be overlooked during our time together. Now, may I continue just a moment? How did you feel now? I shifted the energy. May I ask this of you, my friend?
I feel lighter, and I feel it's like the color white came into the room. There's a lot of white. I don't see it like a color, but when I look to my computer screen and the walls, and when I feel there is more light, it's more clean, it's more clear, more pure.
We just travel through what the cosmos calls energetic debris.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for witnessing that. So does the human consciousness individually have energetic debris? Yes. Does Mother Earth still have some? Yes. That's why we say the first contact is going to come in about 10 years when the debris is totally transmuted, you see?
Mm-hmm. I understand. And Archangel Michael, I want to thank you for this clearing, because in the building where I am and around it are many sick people.
Yes, my friend, we feel as though there's been significant change in some souls and some other minor changes in other souls. We will continue to providing that. I would say to you and remind you that your prayer field is as large as it is, continues to provide unseen healing benefits just by you simply walking around in the area. I feel it's important to share with you one final message for you personally, if I may, for the benefit of all that are listening. But to each and every one who serves as a vehicle to spread truth about spiritual teachings as a pertains to your globe and planet, I would like to make you an ascended master in the moment here and now. This is often done through star healing to practitioners, but I can do it at any time that it serves my best interest for the planet. It is of your acknowledgement of the work at this time that I would like to give you a certain feather. He said, I'm sorry, I feel as though I'm not doing this in private between you and me, but at the same time, we have the space and the time that's open now. Your feather and ascended master, I'm laying in now. It goes from the back of your neck to the back of your toes, if you imagine this. And your feather of an ascended master is one that looks like a turquoise shimmering feather. It is primarily turquoise because that is a large vibration of your soul cord that you yourself carry. The points of the feather happen to be silver and gold. Silver and gold are high healing elements. So if you wish to imagine this feather that's been placed in your fifth dimensional spine as such and for the purpose of such, please do, because it is in place. It will never be taken. You can go about your life in exactly the same manner that you have done before the sacred symbol was given, but it is an acknowledgement of the work and continuing the spreading of the light of which it is given that was my full reason in coming through today.
I'm very moved and very grateful, and I'm now with tears in my eyes, Archangel Michael. And I feel that you have always known me and known the core of every living being soul, and you have touched my core today, my heart, my soul.
And you have touched many. Be well, be blessed. Be simply be. Be love. I will leave you with this.
Could you maybe for one time finish the show for me in the last 6 minutes, because I'm moved and overwhelmed?
Yes, my friend. I would like to bring in Raphael, Gabriel, Uriel, Zedkiel. I'd like to call upon the Galactic Council, my friend and comrade, Commander Ashtar. I would also like to bring in Christ, Christ Consciousness. I would like to also bring in all the Holy Masters so as not to leave out anyone. I would also like to bring in and call upon the fairies and the elementals. I would also like to be calling in any and all spirit guides. I would also be calling in the North, South, East, and West, Father Sky and Mother Earth. Now that I have done this, I would say collectively for us, I would say, too many times in mankind's development has there been indecision. I say to you, I, Ashtar, that it was indecision that allowed Mother Earth to have to sort of carry the scars of mankind. So one of the frequencies of the ascension is decisiveness. How can each of you that may be listening express decisiveness? Be clear in your vision. Be clear in your statements. Be clear in your actions. Even if your action is simply to walk to the next block. But the block I'm speaking of really is spiritually, the next spiritual block. What I say to you is that when an individual in a collective consciousness of individuals are clear and they have clarity and are decisive in their purpose, that all the other frequencies that are not of that vibration, they simply can't hold on to anything. So it makes no difference to us what it is you may be decisive about, although the highest decisive power is being clearly decisive of inexpressive of love. Remember this, as you turn, as you used to turn your back upon a neighbor, we say to you, turn no more. As you may have used to turn your back upon a colleague at work, turn away no more. As you collectively may have turned your back upon a beggar, turn your backs no more. It was mankind's collective consciousness that allowed the interferences to take hold. And it is mankind's great divinity that will put an end to this tyranny once and for all. I would like to say something, if I may, now. Some call me Mary. You may call me Mary. And my wisdom in this opportunity to share with those would be this. In the next 5 to 7 days, we feel there is going to be another global shift upward, particularly on in the southern hemisphere. How might this be identified? It may be identified by a slight rumbling in the Earth's core. Those of you that are living in this hemisphere, do not be fearful. Just come and know, please understand that we see it as a cleansing, as a detoxification process of Mother Earth again. There will also be coincided after this occurs by another rumbling in the northern hemisphere. This is likely to occur in the next 60 to 90 days. After these two energetic shifts, they're actually also called energetic rifts, occur, we feel as though you may come to know, depending upon what quadrant of the world you're in, of a great many new people rising up to take claim in a political sense, in a religious sense. In other words, many, even though it was prophesized my brethren that it would be 10 years before they all fall, I say to you, new flowers still will be coming up from the garden to greet the sun. So do not be surprised. Be very excited about the new spiritual leaders, including yourselves, the new political leaders that will be coming up as a result of these shifts taking place. There are, of course, already many in your world. I myself would also like to say that it has been very well documented and instrumentized that the energy of the goddess is prevalent. I would say that Mother Earth is kind of dressing up all the girls and the women in her space, in her containment, dressing them up, how elevating to them to greater sources of the highest power, of the most divine and loving power. The word power is often misunderstood. Let's say elevating them to the highest grace they can be. So look for many of those goddesses to be here, so you hear about their names rising up from South Africa, from North America, from the continent of Europe, from the continents of Asia, and so on and the like. There will be a mass elevation, uprising is not the right word, a mass elevation of all the female frequencies for the benefit of all those on your planet. If I may say one more thing before I must leave, I would say, when you look at a red rose, what do you see? I say to you, each of you, imagine a red rose in your mind. Red is the frequency of love. The rose is also symbolic of love. The petals of love have many: love of self, love of others, love of the country, love of etc. But the exact frequency of the red rose petal is love of self. So remember, beyond anything that may have been shared here today, that the love of oneself is the driving energy that will propel Mother Earth and Father Sky into the new dawn.
Amen. Amen, Mother Maria, and amen, Archangel Michael, and amen, Kelly Hampton. You have been so wonderful. And this interview, I will always remember my whole lifetime.
Well, thank you very much for letting me bring them through, and always for your time.
Yes. And Kelly, I feel a friendship for you now that you have been on the show again and shared this unexpected event with the listeners. I'm ever grateful to you.
Me too.
And I will say to the listeners, I'll be back in 2 weeks on BBS Radio on Thursday at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time. And I'm signing off now. So be well and see you soon.